The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
S-R-E.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face It with Will Strayhorn and friends. One of the most informative and entertaining talk radio shows today. From social issues and trending topics to sex and relationships. No subject is ever taboo. So join us now for Real People, Real Topics, Real Talk. Let's face it.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's March the 29th, and I am your host, Will Strayhorn.
I am Nathan Whitfield.
And I'm Alicia Brown.
How's everybody doing? Hope everybody had a good weekend.
Yeah.
How was your weekend, Alicia?
It was simply wonderful.
I know you went to a gala last night. Did you get dressed up?
I did. I felt like Cinderella at the ball. I didn't have
a
glass slipper.
Picture.
Yeah.
You didn't.
No, I had sparkly shoes though.
Did you drink, girl?
I had my beautiful gown on with all my little sparklies and my little sparkly shoes, and I even had my sparkly eyeshadow on. I was fabulous.
Girl, the question was, did you drink?
Yeah.
Oh no, I was not allowed to drink. I was not allowed to drink.
Okay. What was the event? What was the event?
You know, it was a 2015 Hampton Roads Heart Ball, which was put on by the American Heart Association. So it was a good cause.
Oh, great.
Where was it at?
It was at the Half Moon Cruise Terminal, which is right next to
Nautica. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm used to going there to go on a cruise ship, but, you know, this was good, too.
Nick, how was your weekend?
It was very uneventful, the way I like my weekend to be.
Did you get a lot of sleep? I know you like sleep.
Oh, I didn't get no sleep.
You didn't? Why?
That's not
good. I didn't get much sleep.
I know one thing you didn't do. You didn't go to church.
Oh, yeah, I didn't go to church now, but I didn't need you to put my business out. So.
He did blast you. He did blast you.
That way this won't happen again. Yeah.
He has some bad side ministry, so it's all right.
Yes.
All right.
I had a decent weekend. Actually, for some reason, I feel extremely good. I've lost about 13 so far. I have about 18 more pounds that I want to go. But for some reason, I feel really good. I think because Nate and I have cut out, like, red meat, and we've cut out a lot of things.
Really?
We still enjoy. Food is still one of our high points. But I really feel good physically. And then my clothes are getting big. I had to get two jackets taken in. I tried on a pair of pants this morning. They were too big. I didn't fuss. I smiled at it. Yeah. So and I'm taking more selfies, if you'll notice. If you follow me on Facebook, I'm taking more selfies because I'm starting to like what I see.
All right, really now.
Yeah. I'm getting my swag back.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Look out.
Oh,
but
Lord.
There was a lot of things in the news that was going on that Nate, tell us about what we're going to talk about first.
Well, our first hot topic is going to be about Taraji. I know you guys heard about the controversy there with her son. There were two instances that happened. One was he got stopped on the university campus for having his hands in his pocket, which she felt he was racially profiled, which kind of heightened when he was stopped by the police because he ran the pedestrian he went into the pedestrian crosswalk without yielding. So once he was pulled over, she kind of, you know, as any mother would do, you know, just went for the gusto, and she was, you know, talking about how he was racially profiled, but then later apologized because you know, the tape came out and showed, you know, that he indeed went through the pedestrian crosswalk without yielding, but that the police was actually really, really nice to him. And the situation could have been worse than it what happened, because they didn't cite him for, they didn't give him a ticket for the crosswalk. They basically just cited him for having marijuana on him. But
she was vocal.
Exactly. You know, she was vocal about what happened, but she came back and she retracted it, and she told him, you know, she apologized. She was just being a mom. A mom job is hard, as well as a police job is hard. But, you know, she wanted to apologize for overreacting. But in our society, I think as a mom, that's what any mom would do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this question, and Nate, I want you to reply first. So given that instance and then everything that's happened over the past couple years, all the racially motivated, well, I'll say allegedly racially motivated instances, do you feel that it's easier now to erroneously just throw the race card?
I do believe that it is easily to throw the race card, but I've always felt that we've thrown the race card sometimes too soon, as we have here, without thinking about it, because these are situations that, you know, like they say, driving while black, or to me, walking while black, because I go to a white school, and I honestly feel that, you know, sometimes when blacks are standing at the crosswalk, we don't get the same right away as white students, but that could just be me because I'm crazy like that. But I think, but I do believe
and I
that.
Agree.
You know, but I do think we throw the race car, you know, for sometimes no reason, but it is easier. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think,
about Alicia? Alicia?
Oh Lord. See, hi. We would just had a good storyline going, and then you're gonna hit me with a question like that. Lord have mercy. I've had the privilege of most of my work years to always have the offense of working while black. Yeah. And I am one of those people, I was raised that, you know, you look at people for who they are. You don't assume anything just because you're white, you're Asian, you're black. Even if there's something that happened between us that is negative, I'm not going to look at the next person who resembles you and just assume you're all the same.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we can't pretend like there is no racial bias in society. There's no prejudice. Yeah. So, you know, in this incident, I'm with you, Nate. She was being a mother.
Exactly.
Was there race involved? Yeah, there was race involved. And when she found out that the situation, she had been misinformed, she did the right thing, she stood up, she apologized.
Yep.
But I don't think it was her just throwing that race card in, especially when you look at Ferguson and you look at all the events just in the past, I'll say 3 or 4 months, that have occurred for small infractions. She has every right to throw
that
card, even though she was wrong.
Because you're scared. Society nowadays is just scared.
Exactly. And I like what she said, you know, she quoted, I'm not paying $50,000, so I can, you know, can't sleep at night wondering, is this the night my son is getting racially profiled on campus?
Exactly.
So.
I just think because we've got, it's a sad situation that we've gotten to the point that it's so easy to throw that race card.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, when I first heard her say it about, and I heard primarily about the campus situation, you know, I didn't even second think it. I didn't even say, no, that's not possible. I just automatically, you know, agreed that probably what was happening, because it's happening so often now that people are racially profiled. And I think it's just bad that it's gotten to the point that my mind is preconditioned to just readily accept that that could possibly happen today.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think it's a going back in time, because, I mean, that's how it was back then, you know. We knew that these things happened because people were black.
Right.
You know, but it's just now they're more smaller situations, if I could use that term. They're not as real as they were back then.
Uh-huh.
They're undercover.
Exactly.
Undercover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alicia, there was another situation. Of course, we all heard about this situation, but give us some recap about the plane incident.
Yes. I want to pronounce this right. Andreas Lubitz, and I believe he was either 26 or 27 years old. He was the co-pilot on the German Wings flight where he deliberately locked the commanding pilot out of the cockpit.
Wow.
And he changed the plane's course to crash into the French Alps. And you include himself, he killed 150 people.
Man.
You know, the investigation is ongoing, but early reports say that he actually hid a possible mental illness from his employers because they found several doctor's notes in his home.
Yes.
Now, see, my issue with this whole story is this. I understand now we're saying allegedly he had a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that probably played a part in what he did.
Exactly.
You look at different reports, and they're saying, well, you know, it was nothing about him what we thought, you know, he was mentally ill. He just seemed normal. And other people will give you the other sign. But, you know, I have a problem when we're talking about do we need to possibly have this examination. I think what was coming on the Today Show, they were saying maybe, you know, annually pilots should have a mental health examination so we can prevent issues like this from reoccurring. I understand that type of job, just like they mentioned there were doctors who, you know, they have extreme drug abuse. And because of their profession, it's easy for them to get drugs, and they're operating on these patients. I think the Today Show gave an example. This doctor was taking over 100 Vicodin a day.
Wow.
And he was getting prescriptions from all of his doctor's friends. Yes, he was working. And what happens is this guy comes to him with a back problem, supposed to be a simple operation, and he winds up taking out some of his spinal cord. So now this guy is partially paralyzed. But I understand that. I understand the gravity of that. However, just because a person has a mental illness, depending on the nature of their job and what the severity of their illness is, that doesn't mean that you're able to just say, oh, you can't work this job because you're taking antidepressants. Or we hear you have this condition. We don't think you should work here anymore. We're going to check you. You know, we can't act like there's no stigma in society about mental illness. And I think if we have some regular legislation towards that, you know, we're going to get a lot of people that now, oh, I'm definitely not seeking the help I think I need or might need or check this out because I'm going to lose my job. My career is over. We see that
but
in the military.
But Alicia, wouldn't you say that there should be some sort of ongoing, being that mental illness is so prevalent now, and you're seeing that a lot of cases, you know, that people have been good one day and come in and kill the whole building.
Well,
don't you think that there should be some sort of stipulation saying maybe we should have mental illness checks every year or every 6 months or every week?
How did I know you were going to ask me that? I do believe Well, I believe in America as a whole, we need a mental health reform. I believe it was something on the news this week that said out of our health care dollars, only 6% is devoted for mental illness. But I just don't know how you would do that. I mean, it's the whole situation we had about gun control. Oh, if you have a mental illness, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. That's true. Maybe certain cases you shouldn't.
Oh, okay. I guess it depends on what mental illness you have. But
that's
I do
true.
Believe that certain jobs, you know, especially like a pilot or as you said with the doctors, these are people that have other people's lives in their hands. You know,
so
I think
true.
They should be mentally evaluated yearly, just like with their evals. You know, that should maybe be a part of their evals. To
Ooh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Ooh,
you don't
want to
go and knowing your doctor crazy, do you? Crazy
well, you know,
than you.
Here's my thing. You know how sometimes you work with people and you know they're crazy.
I'm
I don't want to talk about that on your eval because then you get mad. The eval rank low, then you going to shoot up me and shoot the office. I ain't got nothing to do with this. And you know, That's all right. That's all right.
Jeez. Well, you know what? We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. I have another question for you guys. Nate, go ahead and take us a break.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Let's Face It on the Survivor Radio. We'll be right back.
You want to take your business to the next level? Ultimate Business Solutions provides the support you need to increase your customer base and sell more products and services online. Specializing in graphic arts, web development, and internet marketing, Ultimate Business Solutions creates the face of your business. If you're looking for a custom logo, dynamic website, or popping marketing material, call Ultimate Business Solutions today at 404-704-2197 or visit www.ultimatebizsolutions.com. Ultimate Business Solutions. Let us create your...
Are you looking for a reputable company that offers human resource consulting services, workshops, and speakers for individuals and organizations? Give Miss PDW Enterprises a try. PDW topics cover building your personal brand, job seeker preparation, and business planning workshops. Visit their website at www.misspdwenterprises.com or give them a call at 678-360-4112. Miss PDW Enterprises, LLC, where engagement is key. Be sure to let them know SRN sent you.
The Peter's Brew, the smell is... smells just is actually is amazing. Mm-hmm. Where did you come with the idea to make Jamaican gourmet coffee?
Well, you know, it's probably one of the largest commodity in the world, is coffee. And, you know, we drink a lot of it, and none of it is represented by us. You know a black coffee company?
No, I don't.
Okay, here you go. Peter Thomas is rolling out Peter's Brew, Jamaica rum flavor. Off the chain. That's all I can say.
I'm just going to let him know right
you
now.
You get it. Petersbrew.com.
Petersbrew.com. He's not getting
your
coffee back.
This one's
mine.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Mine.
You drink coffee?
Yeah, I drink
it's
coffee.
It's crazy. I promise you. You're going to be like, it's crack. You're going
to
be cold.
I want it to be crack. This crack to have it. I'm just next week. It's your boy Blogzilla. We out.
Don't judge it.
Don't judge. I'm Peter Thomas, and this is...
I'm Cynthia Bailey, and you guys are watching
Global Grind TV.
Hey America, we're your pets, and this song's dedicated to those people who don't have health insurance yet.
Enroll, we say, we want you to be okay. Enroll, we say, take care of people for goodness sake.
There's a plan for every budget, so don't accept defeat. Now you can get covered and still...
buy me treats.
Enroll!
So listen to me, a talking pug, you see. If you get health insurance, preventive care is now free.
So sweet.
You take care of your pets. Now it's their turn to take care of you. Visit GetCoveredAmerica.org to learn about your health insurance options. That's GetCoveredAmerica.org.
And take care, people!
Brought to you by Get Covered America and the Ad Council.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Women now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
Harvard Medical School has now opened its doors to new female applicants.
The first woman is now in space.
The majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse.
More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Planning for the ultimate vacation? Do you want the perfect wedding and honeymoon packages? How about a relaxing cruise or group travel destination? You need Phoenix One Travel. Phoenix One Travel is one of the leading providers of travel services and travel education in the world. Give us a call at 678-358-8588 or visit our website at www.phoenixonetravel.paycation.com. Let's plan your dream getaway today.
Before the commercial, we were talking about the plane crash, and we were talking about mental illness, the negative stigma, as it is in the United States, pretty much around the country, not just the United States. And before we left, I wanted to pose the question. I know, Alicia, you were saying that I think there was a doctor who you were saying was taking, like, a whole bunch of Vicodin pills.
100 pills a day. And all of his doctor friends actually wrote him prescriptions.
Wow, they're great friends.
Yeah.
So everybody knows you're high, and we're going to write you prescriptions to keep you high while you do your surgery. But he was a well-known doctor, supposed to be heralded for his expertise and his work. And that's why this gentleman with the back problem went with him in agonizing pain, wanted to get better, and now he has problems walking.
So my question is, do you think that, because I know with this story, I think for that airline, and I think there was another airline that you had reviewed, you said, Nate, was it American, I think? The company policy was that they required the pilot to report to them their mental treatment or mental issues that they had going on. In this case, I believe, Nate, you said that they found letters in the house, right? Doctor's notes.
Exactly.
One doctor note that said that they didn't advise him to work or something.
Exactly. And he had a doctor's note from that day.
Mm-hmm.
From the day that this happened.
Yeah, that he tore up.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, do you think there needs to be more federal legislation that requires certain positions, especially those jobs where there are a lot of they're in charge of a lot of people, like the pilot and the doctor, perhaps even teachers. Do you think there should be some type of a federal mandate that requires them to be tested so often and that it is reported?
Oh, Lord.
Did you say preachers?
Preachers. They got your lives in their hands.
You know what? You're right.
They just as crazy. They crazy.
No, I'm like you, Will. He needs to go back to church. He missed the day, and now look what happened.
But I do think there should be some sort of regulation that regulates these type people because of just that. They have people's lives in their hands. If you want to take your life, that's one thing. But to take your life and 150 other people, you know, even though I guess they're tired.
Here's the issue. I mean, I totally agree with you. But, like, okay, the list of people you put, teachers, doctors, pilots, okay, we can get a few other people that readily just come to your mind.
Uh-huh.
Where does it stop? Because technically we could say almost anyone works with people. You know, bus drivers.
I guess you're right, but still.
And Big Brother, doesn't Big Brother watch enough? Do we need him on another layer watching us again?
Yeah.
So what's the solution?
I don't know. I mean, think about it, because let's say something happened. I'm just going to give this example. A parent dies or a spouse dies or a child dies. Of course, everyone can understand this is a traumatic situation for you. You're going to therapy. I just need some help to process this, to deal with this, and be able to function in everyday society.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor says you can need to continue with therapy, and we're going to give you an antidepressant. Now, in that situation, I am dealing with the emotional trauma. I am taking medication to help me deal with that. I may be able to come to, let's say I'm a teacher. I may be able to come to school every single day and teach your child and have no issues with that. Matter of fact, doing my job may actually help me as I'm going through this. But depending on what parameters you set and what laws you write, if we were going to, you know, make something part of legislation, you may say that person needs to be suspended, or that person needs to lose their job, or that person needs to take unpaid time off of work. And now you have that same stigma that's going on in society, and people can shun you. It can affect your ability to be hired. You could be discriminated against just because you experience a trauma that you're seeking treatment for.
Okay. That was a good devil's advocate.
Uh-oh. I know he's got something.
That was a good one. But I'm talking about the one that got the note that said you do not need to go to work.
And fly 5,000 miles.
And fly 5,000 miles. Yes.
Or see, that's you don't got the note. Another tale. That's the extreme.
Okay. So do you think the doctor taking the medicine is an extreme?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
I don't. I think doctors do that all the time, just like pilots.
Oh, Lord.
Just think about when they had to make the pilots get a certain number of sleep before they can fly a plane.
Yeah.
Because pilots were going up in the air sleep tired and on medication.
Okay, well, then on that same question, is it the issue with the pilot or is it the issue with the company where you don't care? Because you knew these people were going
but
all
the company
these
said
hours with
they,
no rest.
But the company say the only way that they can be aware of it is you have to volunteer this information. Because that, like Will was saying, should there be a law? Because there is no law.
That's
so
true.
They have to wait for you to say, I'm crazy.
Well, that's subjective.
Who's gonna do that? Making,
you know, in situations
close to $160,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But in situations like that, I mean, especially a pilot, you know, like we said, there's certain professions. If you have a doctor that says you don't need to show up to work today, and we know that every day you are flying thousands of people whose life are at risk, yeah, there needs to be some system where that doctor.
Exactly. I was going to say the same thing. Because
then
you
have,
know,
like,
even
the
though they have that doctor
confidentiality.
But wouldn't that, I would feel like that would be a protection of that confidentiality if you said, you know you're a pilot, you shouldn't fly. Well, let me call your job and let them know I said you're crazy, but I shouldn't fly. Just like when you're a priest, if you come and tell a priest I murdered somebody, he have the right to go back and tell the police you murdered somebody.
Now, that's true.
If you go to a psychiatrist and tell them you killed three babies, they can't sit there and say, well, because of confidentiality. They going to go and turn you in.
I can't. That is true. But
so
I think
that is one way to regulate it, Will, to have the doctors regulate it. You know, if they tell you that you're incompetent and you're in a position that you have other people's lives in your hand, then I believe that, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Does that mean that people are just going to start lying about what their profession is?
Not if the profession paying for the insurance.
Yeah, but there's ways I can go to certain doctors. You might not know what I really do. I can just lie and tell you I do this.
Well, I guess you're right.
It's always going to be a caveat where somebody's going to figure out a way to lie, or there's going to be a shady doctor, especially the you know, higher the profession, the more money you make, where I can pay you off to say this, and I'll slide under the radar. But hopefully, you know, that's not your standard. So it's really going to take a lot to build the right law that can really achieve what you're looking for versus just discriminating and further. You know, we have such a terrible stigma of mental health in society, and we don't see it like a preventative medicine. You know, you don't have to wait till you have a serious impairment. Of course, if you have one, you have PTSD or you have a bipolar, you're manic depressive, we want to see you. But at the same time, you know, maybe I just have an emotional issue or a bad breakup. We want to see you, too, before it gets that bad.
And do you know, like, with PTSD and those types, certain hospitals just recognize those as real illnesses.
Yes. And
at
they're
first,
still
they
not effective treatment.
Yeah.
So it's just a mess. It's really a mess. But 150,000 people dead from the actions of one person is just horrifying.
Exactly. Yep.
Children, babies, I mean, it's just terrible.
Hmm. Yep.
Well, there's another story in the news that I was surprised. Well, I really was not that surprised when Alicia brought it to my attention about the young lady who was thrown into a psych ward.
Okay. Maybe you're not surprised, but that's one of those stories I had to continuously read. I still have to continuously read it because I don't understand how this happens.
I don't understand how they went from point A to point site.
Yeah. I know some people every day you should lock up, but you never catch those people. But innocent people like this. While we're talking about the race card, there was an African-American businesswoman from Long Island that was drugged and locked in a hospital psych ward for 8 days.
Wow.
Because first police and then doctors could not believe that her high-powered career was for real. What it was, she is the – it actually began last September, so I'm not sure why we're just getting the news story now. She's the 32-year-old former Citigroup banker. She drove her BMW through Harlem. The police department, police officers pulled her over. They accused her of being high on marijuana, and then they impounded her car. Interestingly enough, there was no weed found in her car. Mm-hmm. So the next day when she goes to pick up the car, the officers confront her about her treatment. She was then forcibly sedated, cuffed. They sent her to Harlem Hospital. And then when she arrived, they locked her up in the psych ward and said she was an emotionally disturbed person. Yeah. And she's trying to explain to him about, the doctors about her job. And actually President Obama follows her on Twitter.
Yep.
Maybe that's where she went wrong. Okay. Maybe you shouldn't have said nothing about President Obama on Twitter and then they will let you go. But they didn't. The more she talked, the more they said she was disillusional, she was bipolar, they sedated her, and then they kept her in treatment for a whole additional week. Yeah. So this is what I mean about Big Brother.
Exactly. But then my other thing that kind of make me feel crazy is, why when we get pulled over, the first thing we got to have is weed? Where do crack no more?
No, nobody does crack anymore. Okay?
Nobody do crack.
They do
meth,
or they do something. Yeah, crack is whack. They do something else. Anybody do crack?
So why we always got to have weed on us?
Well, now y'all legalizing it, so there you go.
But then when you look at the woman, she don't even look like a suspect that you would pull over and then feel like she wasn't a career woman.
Well, see, wait a minute. Hold on. You say she don't look like a suspect, but okay, we're going to do the whole race car thing. The woman got dreadlocks.
Okay,
and there's some people that believe if you have dreadlocks, you can't be a professional. So depending on how you
really
raise your profile.
Like you're going somewhere with that.
Okay, you don't want me a name drop. Because I remember I live a little bit too close to it. I'm not going to call no university names. But I remember there is a historical black university just a few minutes from my house where they kicked someone out of the MBA program because the young man had dreadlocks. And they actually made it a law. It was back in 2001 and it's still in effect that no male could be part of the MBA program at that university with dreadlocks. So, and this was by a historical black college. The dean over that department is African American. So,
of course.
Nate, I'm not going to go there with you. there are some people that feel like, oh, you got dreadlocks, you're in Harlem, you're in a BMW. I'm surprised they didn't just say that maybe she stole the car.
Well, they impounded it.
That still happens.
They impounded it,
but they didn't accuse her of stealing the car. They just accused her of being crazy and locked her up.
And then how did you go and say, President Obama, follow me on Twitter.
But you know how people do. I'm trying to tell you who I am. Do you know who I am? And you doing this. President Obama, follow me on Twitter. You know, wasn't it Kanye that had some song talking about he? No, that was Jay-Z. He got Obama on text. So, you know, people want a name drop, and I know,
exactly.
And you can't do. I'll put you on Twitter. I'll tweet. I'll put you on my social media pages. You might, but you're going to be locked up for 8 days first.
With a shot. Don't forget you're not going to get that shot. She got a shot.
See, you ain't right. You ain't right.
And then Nate, also, he was telling me about this situation with the teacher. Did you hear about the teacher that left one day, Mr. So-and-so, and came back the next day, missed somebody? Did you hear about
Ooh,
that?
Jesus. Yeah,
teacher.
Tell us about that.
Tell us about that story, Nate.
Well, there was a teacher. She was a science teacher. And get this, she is highly qualified for the job.
Okay.
And she went one weekend. She was, I can't remember her name, but I'll have it before we finish the conversation. And she came back, unbeknownst to everybody, as a woman. But she said that she was diagnosed, I'm not sure how she was diagnosed, with that she was a female.
Mm.
So
wait,
then she went.
She came back the next, she presented herself as a male first and then came back as a woman?
As a woman. She came, it was over the weekend.
Oh.
So she had the surgery, or was she just cross-dressing?
She's just cross-dressing now.
Okay.
But
okay.
She's been diagnosed to be a woman, that she's a man trapped in a woman's body.
She's gone through the pre-counseling and all of that.
Exactly.
So I think the next stage, if I'm not mistaken, I think the next stage is she has to live her life, I think, for a year before they'll actually have.
Oh, okay.
And now I think she gets the whatever type of documentation to, like, use the ladies' bathroom and all this stuff. I think that's a part of the pre-evaluation.
The documentation?
Too. Yeah. So that she can start living her life as a woman legally, as far as dressing and, you know, using the bathroom and all that stuff.
However, my question to you guys would, do you feel she should have said something prior to the weekend?
Oh, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord. Please help me.
I think
because
so.
She...
And I only think so because of the position that she had. If
exactly.
she was anything else, just because I don't even know what grade students were that she was in, but
it was high school.
High school. Ooh, she
yes.
But I think because kids are impressionable, and a lot of them don't even know what stance they have on certain things, to not be put in a situation that is really thrust upon you. You don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you're going to react probably irrationally the
exactly.
kid at that age. So it would be nice to, if she was going to have done that, to speak to whoever's in charge at the school, the school board, just so there can be some type of a, for lack of a better word, warm up to the students and to the family, so they'll know what to expect. So it's not like a big bam, because, you know, you're going to have those ignorant, immature students who are going to run down the hall calling names and all that kind of stuff and
exactly.
create commotion. So I think it probably could have been handled differently, and she did owe it to them because of the fact that she was a teacher. Had she had been, you know, a cashier or a hairstylist or anything like that, she didn't owe them anything, but because she was a teacher. And
she would owe me. If my barber came
you.
Back
Thank you.
And he was a woman, I got some explaining I need to do.
Okay, so y'all know I got a yes or no answer.
Before I get my hair cut.
Thank you. See, I agree with you, and then I totally disagree with you, Will.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't think it has anything to do with what your job is. And, you know, I'm sensitive to the issue. I'm not doing any disclosure or any prejudgment saying, well, you know, you can't do this and you need to pick one. It's not that. But just like we walk into a job, you present yourself this way. I think, you know, I know at least for Virginia at DMV, unless you have had your sexual reassignment surgery and you get that birth certificate change where it changes your gender, you are not going to get a driver's license, care how you come in. I don't care what hormones you are. You are not going to get your driver's license changed to show a gender that's anything except for what is on your birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
We can argue whether that's right or wrong, but there's a reason for that. And I don't think, I think it's deceptive to come in and I'm saying, okay, I'm applying today as a female. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to just show up to work on my first day of work, hey, I'm a man.
Okay,
I don't
so I figured
see why
it out.
You would do that.
So I figured out something. So what happened was she was gradually doing the transition privately. And she planned to go public that summer before the next school semester. But what happened while she was out as a woman with her boyfriend at the movies, some students saw her and took pictures of her.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Was she with her boyfriend as...
No, she was with her boyfriend as a woman.
Peter or Jamie. Okay.
And she was with, her name is Amanda.
Okay, Amanda.
And her name before was Michael.
Michael?
So she,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
So she
very
went
pretty,
out.
Very handsome name.
Yes. So she went out.
You know what?
She went back to when she went go out, she go out as Amanda. So when the students recognized Michael.
Oh.
In that dress. They ran back and they told. So that made the Amanda come out and be Amanda before she wanted to come out. So some of the parents were saying that they didn't have a problem with it, but they felt she should have told before she got caught.
Yes.
But I guess she wanted to fully finish developing. But my only thing is I don't understand how she feels. It says that she was genetically female.
Mm. You know what, though? You know how you have people, do they call them a hermaphrodite, where they're born with both sexual parts?
Okay.
So maybe she was born, or maybe anatomically she had more of one than the other. I don't know.
I don't know either.
And apparently the employer didn't know either. But I don't, you know, and that's a sensitive topic, too, in today's society.
It is. Because actually we was having dinner, brunch earlier, and we learned that a friend of ours who is transgender and a well-known transgender woman went to the hospital and was put in a private room because I don't know why they put her in a private room. But once the doctors found out that she was male, they put her on the men's ward.
Now that, see, stuff like that.
Looking
that's
like
wrong.
That.
And
if
she's
you get her in a private room.
She is a beautiful woman. But when they found out that she was, and I don't understand if I thought that, I mean, you know how it is when, like they say, when you go to jail and they, like when you see them on TV, they'll put them in private cells so they're not in general population to get hurt or anything.
Yeah.
I could see if it was the opposite way around where they put her in a private room.
Exactly.
So she wouldn't get hurt. But to go from a private room to put her on the men's side, it's basically saying that they're making a statement.
Yeah. You're being malicious.
Exactly.
There's no way around that. Oh, my goodness.
That's true.
But at the same time, I mean, it's different if I'm hired, let's say it's Michael, and throughout the process of my employment, I decide I want to be Jane, and I'm going through that transition. You know, that's always going to be a risk. There is a possibility, despite the laws we have, that there's a way they're going to find to legally terminate you and just call it something else.
Exactly.
But, you know, one weekend I know you as this, and you come back Monday as this, that's a little bit touchy. Especially when we look at, I guess in that case, yeah, profession does play a difference. Mm-hmm. But
what happened
yeah, that's
to the days when Michael became Michelle?
Oh, wait.
Adam became
she
Adam
likes
became
Amanda.
Oh,
father.
Amanda is sexy.
Oh, father.
Y'all are crazy. I have my next question, and this I've really been reacting. When I saw this come on TV, it was in the salon, and a lot of people were applauding her, and it, instantly I went back to a couple of weeks ago, Alicia, when we had the show, and we were discussing the table talk was about the emails coming out for Hillary. And I told you that I felt like, remember I said I felt like this was going to be a part of a larger conspiracy keeping her from getting the nomination for presidency from the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew something else was coming out. Lo and behold, this heifer come out.
Oh, wait a minute.
Monica Lewinsky.
Heifer.
Monica Lewinsky comes out. She wants to give a TED Talk. Now she want to use her mouth to talk and give TED Talk about how she was made to be ashamed and all this stuff. The timing could not have been any more perfect. Just a few weeks after the emails, that's dying down a little bit. Now she's coming in talking about how her life was ruined behind the Clinton administration and what happened between her and Bill Clinton. I think it's a conspiracy. I think they're going to do everything. This is not the last time. If this doesn't work, people are already saying that they're doing polls, and a lot of people are saying that they are already, like, turned against her as far as what they once believed she could do. And now they're talking about things that she did when she was Secretary of State. That's what she was, right? Secretary of State, yeah.
Yes.
But before this, I mean, I still believe if she does get the nomination, I'm definitely voting for her. I'll say that now. But they're going to do everything they can. That Ted Cruz, he can hang it up. He'll never get it. But they're going to try to come up with another. Ain't I talking? They're going to come up with another person in another situation to try to defame Hillary Clinton. I know that this is a time attack because this heifer has not talked in much. She looks good. Now, granted, her makeup, her eyebrows are on fleek.
You know what?
And her hair is right. But everything that comes out of her mouth, I don't believe it. I discredit her.
I do. I believe everything she say. I believe every word out of the mouth of Monica Lewinsky.
Oh,
but you know what I believe? Controversy sells. Controversy
creates
numbers.
Yes, it does.
I don't care what. I don't care if somebody say I ain't voting for Hillary. Half of the time when people go to the poll, they only know the popular person, so they're going to choose the name anyway.
You better tell it.
Because they looked at the ballot and saw who was going. You know, they don't get me on voting. Because, you know, I get passionate about voting. But
yeah.
I think that what it does, it creates a buzz for Hillary Clinton.
You think they work in her favor?
I think it's going to work in her favor.
Hmm.
I believe it's going to work in her favor. Hmm. And why not? Can't Monica get a few dollars out of the beer?
You know what?
They're prostituting her again.
She got paid this time.
She got paid then.
You know what?
He was the president of the free world.
What is that dress?
See? She
got that in a trunk.
No.
That's it. That's Smithsonian.
I can't with y'all. I just can't with y'all.
What do you think,
Alicia?
I'm just going
to point out some very special points about this. Number one, we're going to forgive Will because it's obvious that Will is pro-Hillary. That's okay. I hate on you because you're pro-Hillary. I'm just saying, though, let's keep in mind whether you are a politician or whether you are just an everyday regular person, that we're supposed to be living our lives in a way where if somebody put the spotlight on us, we have nothing to be ashamed of. Now, of course, most of us, there'd be something you'd be embarrassed by. But you know what? When you're in certain type of positions, they always going to look for something. Just make sure when they're looking, they don't have anything to find. That's number one. Number two, there's no diplomatic way for me to say this, so I'm going to say it. A hoe is always going to be a hoe. A woman
going
to have your substance.
A yard hoe. Yeah, you
know. I'm familiar.
See, I'm not messing with y'all. A woman that has no substance. It's always going to be a woman that has no substance. So, you know, Monica, you got your 15 minutes of fame because of who you were with. And that's the only thing, you know, that's the part that saddens me about this. You still want to keep dragging that past back because that's the only thing that makes you known. Instead of trying to reinvent yourself and have fame legitimately. But if you want to keep going back to the ugly part of your life to get 2 seconds of fame, or maybe they are paying you for something against Hillary, you do that. But at the end of the day, you know, Hillary made her millions, Bill made his millions, and you're the only one looking like a fool. So, yeah, those are the points of the evening. Just make sure whatever you do, private or publicly, just do it in a way that the spotlight's on you. They don't have nothing to find.
Exactly.
And,
but
you know, again, for men that wants to cheat on your wife, cheat on your significant other, cheat on your whoever, what you do with your body, your business, that's your business, but you can't turn, what they say, a hoe into a housewife?
You're right.
Well, well, sometimes you can, but okay.
wait a minute.
I'm done. Let me just drop the mic. I'm done. Sometimes you can. Okay. Now, I need to hear about that one. Need to hear about that one. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We do have bills to pay. So
we're
going to take a quick commercial, and we'll be right back to Let's Face It.
Thank you for tuning in to the hottest station out, the Survival Radio Network. This award-winning network has over 900,000.
College is important, but it can also be expensive. College Planning Services is a group of educators, administrators, counselors, and other licensed professionals that work together to provide the necessary services, networks, and information to reach students that are serious about getting a college education. College Planning Services partners with financial institutions, corporate sponsors, and other major players in the global market to strategize in building a pool of information regarding financial aid, scholarships, and funding information to assist students in preparing to access the essential resources to build upon their path to an educational future. Learn more at collegeplanningtoday.com and let us help you start your college career.
Looking for a cafe with a home-like appeal where all who enter feel like they are part of something? Visit My Coffee Shop, located in East Lake, Atlanta, Georgia. MCS has a full breakfast and lunch menu, offering both hot and cold options, and is home of the amazing Basil Lemonade. But don't forget their assortment of freshly brewed coffees. Come on by at 2462 Memorial Drive, Atlanta, Georgia, 30317. We're pretty sure My Coffee Shop at East Lake will become your coffee shop, too.
When you're ready to lose weight, why count, track, and worry over every meal? Jenny Craig makes it simple. Just walk into a neighborhood Jenny Craig Center or give us a call. You'll meet your dedicated personal consultant who helps you reach your goals. Together, you'll pick out delicious Jenny Craig foods that you'll love and design a menu that fits your life. And the best part is that you can get started losing weight right away. Don't wait any longer to take advantage of our best offer ever. Call 1-800-JENNY-20 or visit JennyCraig.com. Members following our program on average lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Offer ends on 3/29/15. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the show here in the studio with guest co-host Nate Whitfield, who is setting up, and Miss Alicia Brown. We have been talking about basically everything that we've been seeing on the news and in the newspaper, on the internet, a lot of things. We're coming down to the last question that I saved this purposely for the end. All right, she is jamming. I saved this for the very end because I knew it was going to push some buttons. We actually touched on this question back in our show when we did cheating. I think it was in January. But we all know about the Kardashian family. We know that the patriarch, Bruce Jenner, who's transitioning into a woman, allegedly, but he is, Kim Kardashian basically released that due to the strained relationship between his ex-wife, Kris, and now his girls, because it seems like they're taking sides or whatever. Anyway, I guess his relationship is pretty much on the rocks between the girls, so he feels a little bit disconnected. But what he did was he opened up a secret Instagram account to basically spy and keep tab on his family, mainly his girls. So my question to you is, do you feel it's right for a parent or maybe even a significant other to spy or snoop on their family or partner, significant other, even if they, you know, they feel like this was in pretty much, you know, he just wanted to know what was going on because evidently they're not opening. But other people do it for other reasons. Do you feel that it's, you know, a good idea to do that? And then would you go to such extremes?
Well, I had a question before we even answer all of that. How did they find out that he had a fake Instagram account? How did they link it back to him?
Kim found out. I don't know if Kim perhaps talked to him. It doesn't even say that. That's a good question. But she just said, this is what she said. My stepdad, Bruce Jenner, has a secret account. And she was quoted to saying to Hollywood Reporter about Bruce, he told me that he set it up so he can see what my sisters are doing. He told her that.
Well, Lisa answered my question earlier with Nate. Now I understand that hoe into the housewife thing. Okay, gotcha. We said Kardashian, God bless her, but now I get that statement. You know, again, you're being a parent. You know, we like to believe your children deserve some privacy, da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. But your job as a parent is to be aware of everything, not everything, but what's going on around them and what they're involved in. Mm-hmm. Of course, you have the wisdom. There's things they don't realize about life and that they think it's okay. Your job is to protect them. So some people say it's an invasion of privacy. You're doing what you have to do to be aware of what your children are involved in.
Yeah, sure. Okay, what do you think, Nate? I can't hear you.
I'm sorry about that. I had muted my phone and I was just talking. I feel like this. If I bought the phone you use an Instagram on, if I bought the computer that you Facebooking on, then it's my right to look to it because it's mine. It's mine. You sharing something that belongs to me.
I'm looking at this computer that you bought me. I'm looking at this phone that's in your name. Wait a minute.
I don't. Now, for my spouse, I should trust you to do exactly what you're going to do.
Exactly.
So I don't want to snoop through your stuff.
Because
let me tell you. Because you may. I don't want to get into the spouse thing because y'all already did the show on cheating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are talking about that. Should have been there.
We're not going to go back. And I tried to call into the show, but nobody would answer the call. But that's fine.
Amen.
So, but I was just talking about kids. You have to keep up on these kids because, you know, they're sneaky.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. Kids are sneaky. You remember some of the sneaky stuff you did, Alicia?
Yes,
you ain't been saved all your life.
I was a good child.
Yeah, I bet your mama tell a different story.
Mm-hmm.
You can't listen to parents all the time. They
exactly.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it, Will?
That for kids, and I'm just going to say kids because I've already stressed my thing about the relationship.
Oh,
but
Lord.
For kids, I feel that, it's like you said, if we pay for it, my brother is a perfect example. Nate, we both witnessed him telling his son, you know, give me your phone.
Exactly.
And his son, you know, when he's like, you can either give me your phone willingly or, you know. So I feel for your, you know, if it's your child, especially a child that you're responsible for, because if anything happens, if they're under the age, they're going to come back to get you anyway. Parent, and the first thing they're going to say, the parent should have known, blah, 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 blah. So that is your job to always know, at least do your best to always know. But, you know, we're smart anyway, so even younger, we knew how to get out of situations. But they should at least have in the back of their mind, my mom not stupid. So I mean, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to really have to make sure everything is on point. But I don't blame them, especially if they're at a place where they're not communicating.
Yeah.
However, if Bruce had to go through the channels of setting up a fake password, that lets you know right there what type of control he got as a father. He have as a mother father.
Yeah.
You know
I
what?
Hey, I play into both of the roles he want to be.
Yeah, you're right.
As a mother, father.
Jesus. Oh, well,
he done lost control of the house.
But you know what? We did post on our Facebook page Steve Jobs' article where he said that his children don't have iPads. They don't have any of that technology. No. And you think about such a big faith of Apple and all the ingenious products he built, and his own children had no access to any of it.
Wow.
So maybe that's the message we need to think
about.
That is. And plus, it takes the creativity out of life if all you got is a cell phone and an Apple Pad and all of that kind of stuff. See, I don't have none of that stuff. I still stop at the payphone and call my friends. I don't have no computer. I don't know how to open up that stuff. I write letters. That's my email.
Nate, they don't even have payphones anymore. There are none. None. And if there were, they would be so expensive, you might as well buy a cell phone.
Exactly.
Writing letters. Lord have mercy. Well, at least back then people could spell, so that might be a better way for us to communicate.
Exactly. Because now you got all these shorthand stuff, you know. And then I even found myself writing to my college professors in shorthand. And then I got to go back and like, what is that? They're going to look at me like I'm crazy. I'm already 100 years old in school.
You know what? I can't with him no more.
100.
Nate, we thank you for being our special co-host
thank
on this episode.
Thank you so much for allowing me.
Yes.
Come
I
back.
Think we need to have him every week. But, yeah.
No, dog. I got to go. I got to check. I chase the checks.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll have you back at some point. Not in a week. All right.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much
for
coming onto the show. And we have another hot topic show. We definitely want to have you on. Have you on.
Yes.
You gave some good input. So we thank you so much for coming on. Well, that's it for the show. Very good show. I want to thank you, too, Alicia, for always going above and beyond everything. I mean, you do a wonderful job. If anything ever happened to me, I know that you are well able to.
Oh, God.
Carry the show. Let's face it with with Alicia Brown and friends.
Oh,
you did wonderful.
See, he complimented me. Now he's trying to give away my job. Look at that. Look at that.
But next week, please tune in. What events will foreshadow the end of human history as we know it? Biblical prophecy scholar and author Dr. Joy Pugh believes that her research has uncovered the true identity of the Antichrist and the preceding events for it. Tune in next Sunday, April 5th, for our End of Time show. That's going to be next Sunday at 8:30 meters right here. Also, please call in during that table topic hour. We'd love to hear how you respond to some of those questions. Make sure you call in between 8:30 and about 8:45, usually is when it takes place. But once
Eastern
again, thank
Standard
you for tuning
Time.
In. Oh, yeah, Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much again. We're your hosts. My name is Will Strayhorn.
Nate Whitfield.
And Alicia Brown.
Yeah. So, remember, in life, you're going to be faced with many choices. But the most important choice that you will ever, ever, ever make is when you make the choice to be bold, be beautiful, make the choice to be you. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Let's Face It with Will Strayhorn and friends on the Survival Radio Network. Please be sure to visit us on the web often at letsfaceitradio.com for the latest in show information, including upcoming shows, special guests, spotlight interviews, as well as exciting, innovative ways that you can be part of the show. So tune in next week for Real People, Real Topics,
Real Talk.
Let's face it.
Benefit from no ATM fees nationwide with a Columbia Bank Advantage Plus checking account. Use any ATM anywhere nationwide for total convenience. Make any ATM your ATM. For Advantage Plus checking, receive credit up to 10 surcharges or $30 per statement cycle, whichever is less, at domestic ATMs not owned by us at charge of transaction surcharge. Maximum rebate of $360 for 12 statement cycles. All offers are subject to be withdrawn at any time. Member FDIC, count on Columbia.
Run to Old Navy for your favorite Old Navy active styles. Compression leggings and Old Navy active pants are just $12 for adults, $10 for kids, 2 days only, tomorrow and Sunday, at Old Navy and Old Navy.com. Valid 1/5 to 1/6, select styles only.